It is that Christmas season again, and so a lot of times I don't necessarily go with the passage for the season as much as I do what God has kind of laid on my heart. But today I want to do both. But I want to share this passage this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And so many times in the Christmas season, we talk about that birth of John the Baptist, and how he was the forerunner for Christ. He was the one that came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And we'll talk just a little bit about that. But as we're told about this story, there's so many prophecies in the Old Testament that lead to this. But this morning, I want us to look at something a little bit different. So we're going to back up just a little bit and look more at John and Elizabeth, or John, at Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so... I'm going to start reading in verse 5, and then I'm going to jump, once I get to 25, I'm going to jump to 57, and then finish in 64, so you just kind of know if you're reading along with me. So, if you would, let's read along. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, and walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away reproach among people." If you turn over to 57, it says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias, his mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' But they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name.' So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Let's pray. Father God, we just lift up your word. Lord, your hand among our lives always amazes us when we see it. God, I pray today that we see it. I pray that we understand what it is that you're doing in our lives, what you want to do in our lives. Lord, that we'd honor and glorify you. Lord, take this day, take your word, take us to be everything you desire us to be. For it's all about you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. That was a longer passage than I'm used to reading. I like it when I just have to read two verses. But I felt like this needed to all be in there to kind of give us the idea and the understanding of what took place with Zacharias and Elizabeth in their lives. And so as we look at this today, this miracle that takes place in the lives of people that led up to the birth of our Savior. Because we know that next Sunday we're going to have that passage that we're going to celebrate. We're going to talk about the actual birth of Jesus. But today I want us to look at this verse as how they prepared for that. And so as we look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, what do we know about them? What does the Scripture tell us? First off, before we even get to them, it says in the days of Herod. The days of Herod, a lot of people just read that and they think that's there just to let us know what time this happened. What space and time that this took place. Oh, well, that was when Herod the Great was in charge. That's one reason for that. But the real reason we need to understand is that Herod was a terrible, terrible person. I mean, he was cruel. He was mean. He killed his own family because he was afraid that if he left them alive, they might take his throne. So he killed many of his own family members just to keep his throne when they weren't really out to get his throne. So he was a paranoid ruler that was willing to kill anybody and everybody if it would help him keep his throne. He was also a person that was not a religious person. So to be a person of faith during the days of Herod was very, very difficult. And that's what I want us to look at first today, because being a person of faith today is not as easy as it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Now they are against us. The Bible tells us that's going to happen. We know that's going to happen, and we know it's going to get worse. But in the days of Herod, to live a faithful life like Zacharias and Elizabeth did was not looked on favorable. We think, well, it tells us they were righteous. It tells us they were blameless. So it must have been easy. Sometimes I think it's too easy for us to live a Christian life because we have no persecution in the United States. Oh, we have what people call, they may fire you, they may not promote you, they may call you names, they may not pick you on a team, they may do things like that, and that's fine, but that's not persecution. Persecution is when you're overseas and they say, if you're going to believe in Jesus, you're going to die. That's what it was like in the days of Herod. So we can't look over the fact that though this was that time when God is setting it up for His Son to come, here is this one that's coming in the power of Elijah to preach that Jesus is coming. It wasn't an easy time to preach about the Messiah coming. Nobody wanted to hear that. Nobody wants to hear it today, but that doesn't give you an excuse not to do it. But let's look a little bit more at Zacharias. He is a righteous man. Starts off with he is righteous before God. Now we know, or we should know, that our righteousness, your righteousness and my righteousness, comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. When I accept Christ as my personal Savior, then I am granted righteousness through the blood of Jesus. By grace through faith, I am granted righteousness through the blood of Jesus. The righteousness here, because Jesus hadn't even been born, so His blood had not been shed on the cross yet, the righteousness came by having a faith in God that your life was His. Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous before God. They had a faith that proved they were God's. We can all have that. But it also says they were blameless. They were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now that doesn't mean they were perfect, because they were human beings. But it meant that their heart was devoted to God and they lived according to the ordinances of the law. They lived according to the scriptures that God had given them. Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous and blameless in a time, in a day and time when it was not easy. God calls, the scripture calls us to be righteous and blameless in a time when it's not easy. Pastor, this is not Christmas message. That's why I told you it's not. It's a Christmas passage, but it's not a Christmas message. But they were righteous and blameless. They're serving God. He is of the tribe of Abijah, the order of Abijah, to where he is one of those priests that would be called out. And this would be a once in a lifetime thing. If they drew your name out that you were going to be that priest to go in and burn incense, that was a once in a lifetime thing. Their order would be called in for a week, two times a year. Thousands of men were in this order, and they would be called in. There's three different orders, but in the order of Abijah, there was over 1,000 men, and they would be called, and then they would draw a name out, and that person would be able to go into the temple and burn incense. And once he had done that one time, that would be it for him for a life. Zacharias was drawn out. He's a righteous man. He's blameless. He's a priest. He's doing everything that he's supposed to do. He's serving God in the temple. His name is drawn out. He gets to go in and do this thing that many priests might not ever get to do in their lifetime. But he surrendered his life to God. And then it goes to tell us that they've got problems. Surely, if you're serving God and you're walking with God, then you're not going to have problems. That's what we think sometimes. I remember when I accepted Christ, or when people begin to tell me about Jesus, I thought, man, if I accept Jesus, then life is going to be great. And that's what a lot of people think. Zacharias was a very devout, just, righteous, blameless man. His wife was the same. If being righteous meant your life didn't have any problems, then surely Zacharias and Elizabeth wouldn't have had any problems. But they did. They had physical problems and they had spiritual problems. You and I are a lot like Zacharias and Elizabeth, and we're going to get into that. But let's look at them and their problems. It first tells us that Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth was not able to have children at this point. To this point, God had kept her from having children. And in their culture, in their society, it meant you didn't have favor with God if you didn't have children. If you had a whole house full of children, then you had favor with God. That's what they believed. And so when they would look at this priest and his wife, even though they were religious people, even though they were good, righteous people, there must be something wrong with them because she hasn't had kids. She couldn't have kids. So culturally, even though it's a priest and she's from a priestly lineage herself, people looked down on them because she didn't have kids. And that was a problem. They had obviously prayed and prayed and prayed that God would allow them to have kids, and it had never happened. At this point, scholars believe they were probably in their 50s. You've probably heard this before, but Zacharias, when he tells Gabriel that I'm old, he's smart enough to say that his wife is just well advanced in years. He didn't call his wife old. So he's a very smart man. But that's their second problem. One is Elizabeth is barren. But two, Zacharias and Elizabeth are both not just, they're old. And surely in their 50s, they're not going to have kids. And so they go on serving God. I've talked to people, and you've probably talked to people, that they feel like they're serving God, they feel like they're following God, and then when things start falling apart, they use that as an excuse to not follow God. Well, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had the problems. She was barren physically. She had not been able to have kids, and now they're old, and so their time has been passed to have kids, or at least they thought. And I wonder if they were still praying for kids. I don't think they were. I don't think they were still praying for kids at the time that this happened, and I think Scripture backs that up. But when they had the problems, they continued to serve. We need to understand, because we are Christians, we're still going to have problems. And when we have problems, we cannot allow those problems to keep us from serving. Because that serving is what we're called for. That's what we're created for. And so we go on, and we know that Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel, when he tells him, he says, don't be afraid, first of all. Then he says, your prayer is heard. And like I said, I don't believe that they're still praying for a child. They could have been, but if we go over a few verses, Zacharias says, how can this be? You know, I'm old. So he had a lack of belief that they could still have kids. But it says that their prayer was heard. And Gabriel said that they would have a son. Their prayers were heard, even though maybe they had quit praying them, and it was still going to be answered. Now, I know you've heard me say, and you've heard so many people say, we need to continue to pray until God releases us from that. That's what we need to do. But here, maybe they didn't do that, because when Gabriel says, your prayer has been heard, Zacharias says, how shall I know this? How can I be for certain that I'm really going to have a son? You know, an angel has come and spoke to you in the temple and told you that you're going to have a child. And it's not just going to be any child. It's going to be a child that's going to be the forerunner of God. And he's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And you're told all of this great information. And because he was a priest, he knew the Old Testament Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament Scripture that said one's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And now he's being told that it's his son. And if that's not mind-blowing enough, he goes back to, well, God, how can that really happen? Because I'm old. So there's that lack of faith, that lack of belief, even from this man who is a priest that has been selected to burn incense and been chosen by God to be the father of the forerunner of Christ. You and I stumble all the time, and our faith weakens because something happened or something didn't happen. Zacharias' faith weakened because he had prayed for a long time for a son and it didn't happen. So now he's not even sure it can happen. And there's times you and I will pray for something. And when it doesn't happen and it doesn't happen, we begin to think, well, maybe it can't happen. And our faith begins to weaken in that area. But just because my faith weakens does not weaken the strength of my God. God sees him in the midst of his problems. He comes through Gabriel and tells him what's going to happen. And the problems that are there are taken care of. Even though his faith was weakened, God comes and he sends a promise. He says, I'm going to give you a son. And he tells him what he's going to be like. But God, I've got all these problems. How can that promise happen? Understand this. The promise of God always outweighs the problems of humans. Get that again. The promise of God will always outweigh any problem you have. So what do we focus on? We generally focus on the problem instead of the promise. We know that Zacharias, when his faith was weakened, we know what happened because it says, you will be mute and not be able to speak until this takes place. And we read that. God's promise was going to be fulfilled and he was going to suffer consequences because he didn't believe it. You know, there's times for you and me that we miss out on the blessings of God because of our lack of belief, because of our lack of faith. Happened to Zacharias here, and I think it happens to us. When we don't trust God, when we don't believe God, we miss out on the enjoyment of it all. Now, this is not in Scripture, but just think about if Zacharias had believed. And he came out of that temple of burning incense. Do you think he would have told anybody what God said? What through this angel Gabriel? Do you think he would have even mentioned that I'm going to have a son and he is going to be in the power and the spirit of Elijah? Do you think he would have said anything like that? You know he would have. He would have been so proud. He would have been so blessed and he would have wanted to share that with everybody around. And he missed out on those blessings because of his lack of faith. And so he was mute. We don't know what he would have said, but he wasn't even able to say one time, I'm going to be a dad. You know, when my kids were born, I said it more than once. I said lately, I'm going to be a grandpa, probably more than once. He didn't even get to say, I'm going to be a dad one time because of his lack of faith. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that Zacharias, he's been praying and praying all of his life, and now he finally hears that he's going to be a dad and he doesn't get to tell anybody? Man, I can't even fathom that. And I can't fathom the blessings that I've missed out on when my faith has been weak like Zacharias's. When God has called me to do something or he's told me to prepare for something and I've chose not to do it or you've chose not to do it, think about what we could have missed out on. But God is faithful even when we're not. As we look at Zacharias and Elizabeth and what they went through, their problems, either physical or spiritual, and how God delivered through them that promise of that son of John. I want us today to shift gears to you and me, because we still have those same problems. As Christian people, we have problems, physical, and we don't understand. I don't understand. I have people ask me, you have people ask you, why does God allow this to happen to good people? It's asked throughout the Bible. We're not God, and so we don't know. Why do physical things happen? Why do we have those problems? We live in a broken world, but we want to question why they happen. I don't know, other than what it says in Genesis, because of the fall of man, problems are in the world through sin. Physical problems as well as spiritual problems. And so what we need to understand today is God is going to take care of those problems the same way He did theirs. They had physical problems, they had spiritual problems. What did God do? God sent a son, took care of the barrenness, took care of the old age, took care of the disbelief spiritually. He did the same thing for you and me. Not that He sent John, but that He sent Jesus. He sent His Son to take care of your physical problems. The Bible tells us that Jesus took stripes for our healing. Well, then why aren't we all healed? I may have some problem. I may have some illness. I may have some issue. But one day I'll be healed. Maybe not in this lifetime, but one day I'll be healed. There are times in this life when He does heal, when He provides a way. We've seen it. We know. We believe it. We understand. We've watched our God bring a kidney to a man who had kidney failure. And we praise God for doing that. God still heals physically. He takes care of problems. He just doesn't do it how we want or when we want, because we're not God. But He still does it. And He takes care of our physical problems as well as our spiritual problems. When I have that problem of weak faith and I see those consequences, I need to see those consequences as discipline. I need to see those consequences as God's refining fire to show me that those things that He's taking care of in my life, He's taken care of through the cross of Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for my sins. And so when He died for my sins, He took care of all my spiritual problems, because I chose to give my heart to Him. He took care of my spiritual weakness, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and when I am weak, He's strong. The consequences that come to our life because of our weakness, He's taken care of. There are people out there that they don't just have weakened faith, they have no faith. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for them too. Maybe for you too, if you're one of those. But we have to understand that for me to place my weakness at His feet, for Him to take care of it, and for that person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, doesn't have a faith, then you have to lay that at His feet, and He will take care of that as well. The problems that you and I walked into this building with, we don't have to walk out with. That's our problem. Too many times we come in here on a Sunday morning and we have issues, and a lot of times when we pull up and we get out of the car, it's almost like spiritually we're sitting here cramming the door back shut, trying to hold it, keep those problems in the car, because I'm going to church and I want everything to seem okay. And so I leave my car full of problems, and I come in and everything's fine. And I sing and I pray and I celebrate with people and I enjoy the time here. And then when I walk out, I go back out and I've got to get in that same car and open that door. And there's all those problems again. Those same problems are the ones that Jesus died for. When God sent His Son, it was so that you could empty your car. Bring those problems in with you. This place is not a place for people with no problems. This church is not a place, well, if it was a place for perfect people, there would be none of us here. But it's a place where we can come and we can lay down our problems. Physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems. I don't care what kind of problem you're dealing with in your life. Jesus Christ died to take care of it. But you got to lay it down at His feet. And you got to leave it there. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they prayed for a baby. And they obviously left that there at His feet. And God took care of it. When you and I have our problems and we're willing to lay them down at the feet of Jesus, then He's going to take care of it. Maybe not when you want, maybe not how you want, but He will take care of it. John the Baptist was a wonderful son for Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was everything that Gabriel said he would be. He was going to lead people to Christ. He was going to preach repentance. He was going to turn the hearts of people to God. He was going to prepare the way for the Lord. That one child made so much of a difference. And he didn't come from perfect parents. God blessed him in a special way. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from before birth. I wasn't that way. You weren't that way. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us as Christians. And so we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Not in the power of Elijah, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are called to go and do the same things that John the Baptist did. We're to turn the hearts of people to God. We are supposed to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, obviously not for His birth, so what are we talking about? For His second coming. We need to turn people to Christ and prepare them for the fact that God is coming back. Jesus Christ is going to split that eastern sky and He's coming back to take me home. And if I don't allow the Holy Spirit to live in me and work through me, then I will never turn anybody to God. I will never be doing the things He's called each and every one of us to do to prepare people for the Lord. Zacharias wasn't perfect. Elizabeth wasn't perfect. John the Baptist wasn't perfect. But they each did what they were supposed to do. In the midst of their problems, they kept serving. That's what we're called to do too. Wherever you're at, whatever problem you're dealing with, my prayer this morning is that you don't take it back with you. That you lay it down at His feet. Keep serving Him. Because if only perfect people serve God, then nobody would be serving God. We have to keep serving Him. we have to have faith to know that He's going to take care of those problems. One way or another, He's God and He can do what He wants. If we're His children, we've got to do what He says. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just come before You. We praise You for who You are. God, in all the things that You choose to do, You choose to love us. You chose to send your Son to be born a human being, to live that life, to die that death, all because You loved us. Lord, may we seek to love You more, to serve You more. In everything we do, God, may we honor and bring glory to You. Love You, Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen.